Chapter 6, Learning Mindset, Create System. Mark Twain in his biography wrote, "There is no such thing as a new idea. It is impossible. We simply take a lot of old ideas and put them into a sort of mental kaleidoscope. We give them a turn and they make new and curious combinations. We keep on turning and making new combinations indefinitely. But they are the same old pieces of colored glass that have been in use throughout all the ages." Create, problem solve, recreate. The innovation engineering course titled Create should actually be called Create, Problem Solve, and Recreate. For successful innovations, 10% of a project's creativity is used to spark the starting idea. The remaining 90% is used to improve and reinvent the idea as it's made real. Thomas Edison felt that the ratio was even higher. He famously said, "Genius is 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration." The hard way to create, brain draining. The hard way to create ideas is to sit in a room and attempt to suck ideas from your mind. It's a process of poking and prodding your brain to think up ideas. The process is often called brainstorming. However, the effect is more like brain draining. I call it the suck method of creativity. It's grounded in the belief that ideas come from inside us. This is an egocentric view of the world of idea creation. Brain draining is not effective, efficient, or fun. With brain draining, the brain is considered the source of all ideas, a sort of idea library, ready at all times for any withdrawals its owner may wish to make. The smart way to create, stimulus response. The smart way to create ideas is to feed your brain stimulus, sights, sounds, learning, facts. Then have your brain react off of the stimulus to create meaningfully unique ideas. Stimulus sparks ideas. It sets off a chain reaction of idea associations and creations. Stimulus can take many forms, from sights, sounds, and scents to customer data and firsthand experiences. Diversity of perspectives multiplies the sparks from the stimulus through the different ways that each person perceives and interprets the stimulus. Those whom society considers to be creative geniuses are simply those who have learned how to open their minds to stimulus. They have an overwhelming curiosity to learn more about their problems, possible solutions, and life itself. They have an openness to fresh ideas from themselves and others. They embrace a new world of curiosity and change when it comes to ideas instead of the old declare and defend approach. As an example, many years ago I was working with a team of very fluid innovators in the Netherlands on behalf of the Van Mella Candy Company. The event was being filmed by Dateline NBC. I should warn you that today what I'm about to describe would be considered politically incorrect. The mission was to invent new candies for children. The initial stimulus used to invent ideas was a toy gun. This example is particularly useful when explaining how stimulus and diversity work because it's so outrageous. Here's the actual conversation that it set off. After seeing the stimulus of the toy gun, one person said, "Make candy you can shoot." Another, "Make bullets kids can bite with red blood inside." "Make silver bullets like the Lone Ranger had." "Make little candy bullet wounds that bleed." "Make candy named after famous assassins." "Make a gun that you shoot into your mouth." "Make a gun that shoots sometimes and other times it doesn't." "Make a Russian roulette gun." "Make a Russian roulette candy with surprises inside." "Make candies that are like fireballs or fruity fruit." "Make it so you can't tell if it's hot or fruity." Now, ordinarily, you would never assume that something like a toy gun could be useful to create ideas for a children's candy. In this case, it ended up sparking the idea for a candy called Guts, which stands for Great Unbelievable Tasting Sweets. It was a hard candy with a powder inside. Inside was either a sweet cherry center or a hot cherry bomb cinnamon center. The classic way children and most adults problem solve. When we are young in age or new at a job, our mind is open to many options. When faced with a problem, we can see many possible solutions. As we age, we learn that not all of these solutions are perfect solutions. We soon start to edit ideas before we even give voice to them. As we age, we develop patterns of thought. When we see a problem, we see only one answer. In fact, even when the problem is a variation of an old problem, we actually transform the problem into the old problem so that we can use the same solution. There's a linear reaction between problem and solution. This approach to problem solving is a very efficient way to live. Life would be chaotic if every time we faced a situation, we had an unlimited number of possibilities for what to do next. To compensate for the multitude of possibilities, our brain develops reactionary behaviors. When we see a lion, we think fear. When we see a kitten, we think cute. A linear response to stimulus makes life efficient. However, it's not helpful when we are looking for fresh ideas. The more effective way to problem solve. The more effective approach is to use stimulus as a spark to disrupt your normal thinking pattern. In my first book, I called this system for creating ideas and problem solving stimulus response. Creativity expert Dr. W. Edward Bono named this approach lateral thinking. An artist might call it an inspiration. When Robert Frost sees two paths in the woods, it becomes the inspiration for poetry. Two paths diverted in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. To create fresh ideas, stimulus is used to disrupt our normal thinking patterns. In Dr. De Bono's words, it gets the brain to think laterally. A to B is disrupted by a stimulus interaction that causes thinking to go laterally to C instead of linearly to B. The stimulus response method makes it easy to craft fresh solutions to your problems. If you want more solutions, you simply fill your brain with more stimulus. Your brain is then used to associate, connect, and piece together the stimulus into fresh ideas for solving the problem. Fresh ideas don't appear magically. Rather, your mind connects and processes stimulus into new ways of looking at solving your problem. The stimulus response method of discovering solutions is like working out. The more you do it, the stronger you become at it. Every time you create ideas, you are filling your brain with more stimulus and connections. When you least expect it, an old connection will provide the link you need to solve a problem. Steve Jobs felt similarly. He said, "Creativity is just connecting things. When you ask creative people how they did something, they feel a little guilty because they didn't really do it. They just saw something. It seemed obvious to them after a while. That's because they were able to connect experiences they've had and synthesize new things." Another example of stimulus response. As another example, say you're in the business of selling Christmas trees. However, because of new competition, you end up this season with 300 trees that you haven't been able to sell. You need ideas for ways to make money on these trees. With innovation engineering, before you start to create ideas, you do what we call stimulus mining. You read, you search the internet, you talk to experts. You post on social media asking for things to do with pine trees. From this, you get dozens of stimulus sparks related to uses for pine trees, including pine is very high in vitamin C. An academic study in Japan found that depression levels went down when people walked through a pine forest for just 15 minutes twice a day. Experts from pine have been found to be a cure for jet lag, circulatory problems, and knee pain. Extracts from pine have been found to improve memory in the elderly. And there are lots of recipes for pine teas, martinis, and other foods and beverages. You gather a group of friends together to think about ways to use your leftover trees. You show them the stimulus you found, and it sparks ideas. Some wild, some with potential. All that are fresh versus that which you have thought of by yourself. Like, create a portable pine forest for people consisting of pieces of chopped pine that click onto a necklace to wear when walking for exercise. Create a travel package of pine oil and extracts for when you fly. Create super pure pine needles that are specially processed to maximize health benefits for use as a tea and as a gin and tonic. As pine is an evergreen, it's like juniper. The idea of using stimulus as inspiration is not new. Artists have borrowed from the natural world to inspire their work for centuries. Thomas Edison was a great believer in the power of using stimulus to spark ideas. He said once, "Make it a practice to keep on the lookout for novel and interesting ideas that others have used successfully." The greatest barrier to using stimulus to spark ideas is the ego. Instead of letting the ideas flow by, responding to stimulus and sharing ideas with others, we attempt to control, direct, and declare solutions. When we shut our minds down from stimulus, learning, and sharing ideas with others, we paralyze our ability to ignite fresh ideas. You already know how to use stimulus. Practice is required to build your confidence in your ability to identify fresh solutions. This is not because stimulus is difficult to find or use, but because you will need to retrain your brain to think differently. The good news is that you are probably using stimulus response in your daily life without even being conscious of it. When you wander around the kitchen pantry, looking at what's available to make dinner, or flip through recipe books, you are using stimulus to spark ideas. When you wander around the mall at holiday time, thinking about what to get for a gift, you're using stimulus to spark ideas. When you pull information from a weekly sales letter, you're using stimulus to spark ideas. When a baby empties a cupboard on the floor and starts playing the drums with the pots, she is using stimulus to spark ideas. When a singer hears the rhythm of the train over the tracks and is inspired to write a song, that's using stimulus to spark ideas. When the product designer gathers military gear to serve as inspiration for a new line of outdoor gear, she's using stimulus to spark ideas. As your brain fills with stimulus, you immediately start to make connections. You literally can't stop yourself, as the human brain is wired to find order in the jumble of ideas that are being fed into it. Without even thinking about it, your brain will search for patterns that will ignite within you fresh ideas and insights. You already know how to use stimulus. What's needed is to build your confidence in it by making it a conscious practice. To do this, you need to start practicing and applying it. As Copthorne McDonald, scientist and scholar on wisdom, wrote in Toward Wisdom, "Before we can deal with the considerable trials of practice, we must first overcome our fear of starting." Now, don't tell me you are too old to learn a new way of thinking. Many of the greatest breakthroughs in science come at later ages, as older people actually have more experiences and stimulus to pull from, if, and it's a serious if, they still have the energy and desire to open their minds to fresh ideas. Stimulus mining. Stimulus can be gathered from a random walk, gathering sights, sounds, and perceptions. It can also be gathered through a disciplined stimulus mining approach. Stimulus mining is so important that we spend nearly half of the Innovation Engineering Create course on it. It's a disciplined process of gathering facts, insights, sights, sounds, and even ideas that we mix, match, and rearrange into fresh ideas to solve our challenge. The process of gathering stimulus often sparks initial ideas. We write them down to keep them safe, as these initial ideas become additional stimulus on our quest to find meaningfully unique ideas. Having gathered the stimulus, the ideal approach is then to share with others to multiply our diversity exponentially. Stimulus mining depth. There are three levels of stimulus mining: exploring, experiencing, and experimenting. Exploring is the gathering of facts, data, and findings. It's about shifting through the multitude of information to find pieces of stimulus that can disrupt traditional thinking and spark fresh ideas. If you are working on inventing a new type of pizza, it can involve gathering data on pizza purchasing trends, regional variations, or even pizza taste preferences around the world. It can involve gathering pricing on various pizza ingredients and details on different cooking systems. Experiencing is about taking a deep dive into your object of inquiry. It's about seeing, feeling, experiencing from the inside out. For example, if you're working on inventing a new form of pizza, it could involve gaining deep knowledge into the chemistry of pizza crusts and sauces. It could also involve tasting lots of pizzas. It could involve enrolling in a professional pizza college or working the line at a pizzeria. Experiencing could also involve a deep statistical analysis of pizza purchasing, attitudes, habits, and practices. Deep experiences help you identify unexpected insights and idea starters that are not visible on the surface. Experimenting involves fail fast, fail cheap experiments. The tests are sparked by connecting the dots between facts, insights, intuition, or experiences. It involves creating new what-if hypotheses. In the case of pizza, it might be using different types of grains to create pizza dough. It might involve trying to create a cracker crust and topping recipe that cuts calories in half. Or it could be connecting declines in red meat consumption and the trend of raw food to inventing new types of cold or raw pizza options. With both experience and experiment, the findings are often shared with others through photos, audio, video, or a recreation of a portion of the immersion experience. Stimulus mining breadth. There are 6 forms of stimulus mining. We organize them into 3 groups: classic mining, tech mining, and stretch mining. Classic mining involves customer insight and competitive market mining. Tech mining involves academic wisdom and patent mining. And lastly, stretch mining includes future and unrelated mining. Of these 3 areas, classic stimulus mining is the most common method used today when creating ideas. It includes insight and market mining. It is the ideal for the generation of incremental core innovations. Insight mining. It's also known as voice of the customer. It involves understanding what customers and potential customers perceive and believe. With internal system innovations, insight mining is focused on connecting with those who are responsible for the system and who are affected by the system. Insight mining involves having direct conversation with customers or potential customers. It involves customer observation, or as market researchers call it, ethnography. The internet provides a powerful method of conducting insight mining. Reviewing social media, blogs, etc., for comments provides insights. Posting questions on the same internet sites can spark a chain reaction of insight mining feedback. The odds of getting great value from insight mining go up when you ask questions that go beyond asking about problems with the existing offering, and instead ask to focus them on their wishes. Classic questions that can be asked include, "What would be such a wow that you'd be willing to pay more money for it?" Or, "If you could wave a magic wand and wish for anything other than low price, what would you wish for?" Qualitative opinions are a valuable method for sparking ideas. However, care must be taken as they could be random opinions that are not broadly shared by others. To enhance reliability, there are various methods, including interact sessions and quantitative research, that can be used. Interact sessions are advanced forms of focus groups. They involve 3 to 6 simultaneous mini-groups of customers who are provided stimulus to recall and react to. This ignites up to 6 times more fresh ideas from customers. Quantitative research is the only statistically reliable system for gathering insight mining. Classic insight mining surveys include problem surveys, where customers are asked to rate various problem statements relative to a product, service, or system. They rate them on how big of a problem the stated issue is to them and how frequently they experience the problem. This provides valuable stimulus for sparking fresh ideas. Another kind of survey is idea starter survey. Here, customers are asked to rate 1-sentence statements of possible ideas. They rate how much they like each statement and how new and different each is. These results provide insight into what ideas are perceived to be the most meaningfully unique. A classic workflow would be to use qualitative conversations with customers to identify possible problems or idea starters. This is followed by quantitative research to quantify on a broader basis. The research is then used in a create session to spark ideas. Market mining, also known as benchmarking. Market mining involves looking at competitive offerings and solutions to the problem you seek to solve. At its most basic, it's about creating a chart showing the advantages and disadvantages of your offering versus others. The most experiential form of market mining involves seeing, feeling, and experiencing firsthand key competitive alternatives. With market mining, it's important that you look at the whole story of the competitive offering. Otherwise, it's easy to disregard the approach that competitors use because it's different than what you do. For example, when you look deeper, you often find that while they might be virtually giving away one part of their offering, they're making more money on another part that you were giving away. The internet also provides new options for market mining. It makes it easy to find spec sheets on competitive offerings and to see how the competitor is positioning their offering. It also makes it easy to find how competitors in other countries and cultures are approaching your challenge. For example, a simple search for best pizza in Iceland takes you on a global stimulus journey. Somewhat more advanced market mining options include listening to the Q&A during quarterly earnings webcasts of publicly held companies, reviewing trademark filings by your competition, interviewing industry trade show executives on what are the up-and-coming companies, visiting the low-rent district at trade shows to see what entrepreneurs are doing, interviewing retired executives. LinkedIn and Facebook make this process much easier today. A very powerful market mining method is to gather the problems and promises that competitors are making. Write them as simple statements without brand names. Then conduct quantitative problem surveys and idea starter surveys. Compare the results with the sales results of each. This identifies those products that are overperforming and underperforming versus their basic customer problem and promise. Tech mining is a more advanced form of stimulus mining. It includes wisdom and patent mining. It is especially valuable when creating disruptive leap innovations. Patent mining. Patents are arguably the world's most effective source for inspiring genuine innovations. Patents are in effect blueprints for how to accomplish something that has been judged to be meaningfully unique in the world. They provide step-by-step instructions for how the invention works. That's because when a patent is filed, the inventor is obligated to make an enabling disclosure that can be executed by somebody with skill in the art without excessive experimentation. Patent mining leverages the published inventions of others to inspire fresh ideas. At its root, it's one of the reasons that patents were created. In exchange for making your invention public so that others can build on the invention after the term expires, the inventor is rewarded with a government-supported commercial monopoly. The easiest way to create a meaningfully unique innovation is to take one or more free patents that are in the public domain, making them free to us, and create an invention that builds on them or combines them. Alternatively, you can purchase flea market patents to use directly or build on. These are patents that can often be bought for a few $1,000s as the inventor has decided to not pay maintenance fees to maintain the patent. Lastly, there are valid patents for invention that can sometimes be licensed for use. More details on patents are provided in Chapter 12. The two barriers to patent mining are the painful ways that patents are written, as well as the egos of technical people who feel they know everything. The first problem is easy to solve. There are technologies inside innovation engineering labs and at other online databases that make it easy to find and filter patents. You can filter to the 40 to 50 patents that matter quickly. You can do this by looking into the 150,000 plus classes that patents are categorized in. Carousel viewing systems allow you to quickly click through the key drawing, title, and abstract, saving patents that you might want to look at more deeply. Artificial intelligence systems allow you to type your idea in natural language, and the smart system then identifies patent classes to explore. Somewhat more advanced patent mining options include exploring pending patent applications to identify the latest technology trends, or using patents to point you to an inventor who often has additional technologies that have not been patented. A retired Procter & Gamble inventor told me, quote, "For every patent I filed at P&G, there were 4 to 8 others that I thought of, but that didn't get the time or support to pursue." As with market mining, talking to retired employees can be an invaluable resource for fresh ideas. Wisdom mining. Wisdom mining is the most powerful way I know to create a transformational leap innovation. Wisdom mining involves reviewing academic articles for inspiration. Academic articles, like patents, represent a new contribution to the world as judged by those with skill in the field. Academic articles disclose at no cost root technologies and understandings that are new to the world. And unlike industry, which tends to focus on applied product development, academic research tends to be more basic R&D, the type of exploration that has the potential to transform industries. However, academic research studies are foundational building blocks that need to be translated, developed, and packaged to generate commercial value. Note, most free databases of academic articles only provide the abstracts of articles and require a purchase to see the full article. One way around this is to check with your local library. Many libraries provide access to full-text academic articles or have copies of the journals on site. Alternatively, innovationengineeringlabs.com offers, as part of membership, access to the most useful text databases we found for innovators. And as with patents, academic articles are written in a manner that makes them hard to comprehend. I find that I often have to read them multiple times before I can fully understand them. Stretch mining. Stretch mining is a mind-liberating form of stimulus mining. It includes future and unrelated mining. Like tech mining, it is ideal for the generation of both disruptive leap innovations and incremental core innovations. Future mining. Future mining stretches your mind by focusing you on the future. This focus on anticipating the future is a key theme in Dr. Deming's teaching. He explained, "Management's job is one of prediction, to try to learn what will help the customer in the future, to try to figure out what will get ahead of the customer." Whereas patent and wisdom mining are grounded in scientific fact, future mining is grounded in theories about the future. The theories are not random. They are predictions about what could happen. Even a theory based on a consistent trend of data is not a certainty. An outside force could occur that changes the trajectory of the trend, making it happen faster or not at all. The best way I've found to think about future mining is to use scenario planning. Scenario planning is a field of science that has a deep pedigree of successful applications. As practiced, it requires intensive research. A simple way to get started is to use an if-then approach. If blank were to occur, then the consequences could be blank. This could generate opportunities for blank. By saying if a scenario were to occur, we avoid having to defend the stimulus. We're thinking about future possibilities, not certainties. The result is spending less time debating and more time thinking of fresh ideas for making a meaningful difference. Advanced methods for future mining that we teach include Trailblazer, a Delphi system for quantifying future possibilities based on the instincts and wisdom of a diverse range of experts. Mining those with the long view. People retired from the industry often have a better appreciation for long-term trends. They also have no ego in defending today's approach. Lines of evolution, a systematic way of looking into the future. It's based on the work of Genrich Altshuler, a Russian innovation expert who spent years identifying reproducible patterns in innovation solutions and in the evolution of industries. Unrelated mining. Unrelated mining is about stretching the mind with stimulus that is not directly related to the challenge. There are a broad range of options for unrelated stimulus, from stories of successful innovations in unrelated fields, to magazines, movie scenes, music lyrics, greeting cards, or simply highly provocative products. When working with unrelated mining, a problem-solving mindset and a playful mind are necessary. Forced association is used to problem solve the riddle of how to make the unrelated stimulus relevant to the challenge. Generally, unrelated stimulus requires a level of trust, confidence, and playfulness among those utilizing it. The number of ideas generated is often lower than with related stimulus, but at the same time, they tend to be more dramatically different. Advanced methods of unrelated mining. Grab bags. This involves providing a small toy or product to spark ideas. The team is then challenged to deconstruct the item, listing key components, functions, and benefits. The deconstructions are then used to inspire new ideas. We found that by putting each item in an individual brown paper bag provides focus to the thinking instead of a basket full of items to explore. Expeditions. I learned this from Jim Henson, inventor of the Muppets. When looking for inspiration on new characters, he and his team would tour art museums in New York or London. When you walk through a gallery, the images, designs, concepts, and even names of the art pieces can be invaluable to inspiring ideas. The Eureka Ranch team has led innovation accelerators at locations that provide opportunities for stimulus expeditions. We've held sessions and sent teams to explore Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, zoos, cruise ships, the streets of London, Seoul, Toronto, and even Portland, Maine. Years ago, we used Polaroid cameras for participants to capture stimulus to bring back to the group. Today, we use a collaboration cafe app inside IE Labs, which sends images via smartphone to a private project digital workspace. Takeover time. A very popular form of unrelated stimulus is called takeover time. It involves thinking about what other companies, brands, or famous or historical figures would do if they took over your challenge. Similar to grab bags, teams are challenged to deconstruct the stimulus into core values and principles inherent in the takeover stimulus, then to apply them to the challenge. Great unrelated stimulus sets off a chain reaction of ideas. My simple test for evaluating the potential for unrelated stimulus is when I shake it, that is, think quickly about it, I can quickly see a few ideas. If I can do it without much effort, I know that when a group of people are exposed, there will be even more ideas. Leveraging diversity. The stimulus gathered through one or more of the six stimulus minings is then used to inspire ideas. This can involve an individual simply using it. You simply sit down and start to fill your brain with the stimulus, sparking new ideas and twisting and turning your mind. The most powerful method for processing the stimulus into ideas is to gather a group of people to help you. The stimulus you have gathered is multiplied exponentially by collaborating with others. Each person brings to the stimulus unique life experiences and knowledge that will spark unique ideas. The gathering can be a short, idea-focused create session, or a multi-day accelerator session in which cycles of creating are used to refine, reinvent, and optimize ideas. Our initial reactions to stimulus are based on our experiences and expertise. Those in manufacturing review ideas and immediately think of production issues. Those in legal immediately look for possible legal risk. Those in sales search their mind for customers who would purchase the new idea. Research and development experts review for technical feasibility. Each viewpoint is invaluable in helping you develop a three-dimensional perspective regarding your idea. By listening to each person and building on their thinking, you help your idea develop richness. Collectively, these perspectives can dramatically enhance your probability of executional success. Diversity has an exponential impact on the number of high-quality ideas created. If one brain looks at stimulus and creates five ideas, then two brains looking at the same stimulus can create not five, but rather 25 ideas. Stimulus sharing methods. Stimulus can be shared informally, reviewing a few findings, then as a group, free associating on the ideas that are sparked by the stimulus. Every perception, by every group member, becomes an additional piece of stimulus. More formally, stimulus can be shared using what are called spark decks. These are presentations of ideas, images, video, or audio. They're presented using presentation slides. We teach students to use a very disciplined format that is both disruptive and divergent. The left side of a presentation slide communicates a disruptive fact or insight. The purpose being to cause the stimulus response or lateral thinking effect described at the start of this chapter. The right side of the slide contains a few divergent prompts. The purpose of these is to provide a set of nudges to spark the creative thinking process. For example, a patent spark deck slide might include a key visual and short description of the patent on the left disruptive side. The right side might include what-if prompts on how the patented invention could be applied to address the challenge you face. Classically, 6 to 12 slides are shown as a set. Participants are given a few moments after each slide is reviewed to think and reflect on thoughts. After the complete set is shared, the group breaks into groups of 4 to 6 people who then build on each other's ideas. SparkDecks have proven to be one of the most effective methods for sharing custom stimulus with a group. In preparation for a very important project, we often work 3 to 6 work streams to explore and develop stimulus SparkDecks for sharing at the Create session. Stimulus from experiences or experiments is shared using slides, or by having participants experience the experience or experiment themselves. Over the years, people who sell paint have sanded and painted old furniture. Executives who make garden equipment have gardened. And executives who make surgical equipment have operated on stuffed animals. Each of these ignited fresh ideas and insights. Stock exercises for leveraging diversity. There are literally hundreds of stock stimulus exercises that don't require customization. For details on some of the most validated methods, see my book Jumpstart Your Brain 2.0. And the ultimate reference is Techniques of Structured Problem Solving by Dr. Arthur Van Gundy. The two rules of great create and accelerator sessions. Alex Osborne invented the word and concept known as brainstorming. He identified two rules of brainstorming: suspend judgment and quantity creates quality. And they are just as true today as when he first identified them in 1942 in his book, How to Think Up. Suspend judgment. The psychology of idea creation is very simple. Positive feedback loops ignite creative momentum. However, negative feedback loops stop creation. To create fresh ideas, we need to suspend judgment on the value of each initial idea. Suspending judgment separates the creation from the evaluation of early ideas. When you create and evaluate in one pass, a mindset of negativity develops. If every time you say an idea, it is shot down, soon you don't say ideas. Soon, fresh ideas are withheld for fear of being shut down. If instead you simply create, create, and create, then a chain reaction of positives are enabled. All ideas, good or bad, serve as stimulus for even more ideas. Over the years, we've discovered many techniques for building positive momentum. For example, we offer, as we call it, thunderous applause when people share an idea with the broader group. We also encourage senior leaders to set the standard. We encourage them to offer to the group a crazed or even maybe a little stupid idea in a create session. When senior leaders do this, it frees up others to do the same, as it stretches the psychological safety zone for others. The thinking goes like this. I hesitated to speak an idea for fear that it was too crazy. However, after the CEO said that stupid idea, I figured at least my idea wasn't as dumb as what he had just said. Quantity creates quality. Research I did with Dr. Andy Van Gundy of the University of Oklahoma confirmed what other researchers have found, that the more ideas you create, the more big ideas you end up with. It's believed that this is because initial ideas act as stimulus for other ideas. And the more ideas you have, the more connections to big ideas that can be made. Contrast this with the approach of focusing on finding just the one big idea. In our classes, it's common for some teams to follow the advice and create a lot of ideas before picking their best idea. Other teams attempt to simply create the answer, thinking it will be the shorter, easier path. Every time that I remember, the best ideas come from the team that took the time to create many ideas first. Dean Keith Simonton of the University of California confirmed that quantity does indeed create quality. He studied over 2,000 scientists throughout history, and he found that the most respected scientists produced not only more great works, but also more bad ones. They simply produced. If I were to lead your team in a problem-solving session, I would challenge you to create 20, 50, or even 100 possible solutions, depending on how very important the problem is. My goal would be to ask for more than is reasonable. The team may well complain when I challenge them, saying it's unreasonable. However, when we are done, they will thank me. Osborne's research confirms what will happen. He found that the second half of brainstorming sessions generate 78% of the big ideas. In addition to generating more stimuli, the initial ideas that are generated are usually the obvious ones. When the obvious ideas are exhausted, then original ideas are developed. Mind mapping, the ultimate stimulus processing tool. With innovation engineering, we take an engineering mindset in our tools and work processes. We take the work of others and distill it into the 20% that reliably delivers the bulk of the value. Our intent is not to diminish the research and development of others, but rather, given our focus on frontline application, our students can't afford to invest weeks or months learning one specific methodology. We do, however, encourage students and readers to learn more about each CREATE method from the creator's own work. For example, if I was stuck on a deserted island and could have only two tools to create a solution to get me off the island, Tony Buzzard's mind mapping is one of the ones I would want to have. Mind mapping is a display thinking system. Instead of listing ideas in a one-dimensional list, they are displayed as a two-dimensional web of connections and associations. Tony Buzzin has developed mind mapping into a rich and deep tool. Oh, by the way, the other tool I would want to have is TRIZ, Genrich Altschuler's System of Intelligent Stimulus. With TRIZ, Maggie Pfeiffer of the Eureka Ranch took what is taught over weeks and simplified and automated so that it can be learned and practiced by students and business people in minutes. TRIZ is a system of smart stimulus based on an analysis of the key insights behind millions of patents. Now, we've simplified mind mapping to make it a simple stimulus processing tool that can be used quickly by individuals or groups. And the process works like this. Step one, task. In the center of the paper, write the task. We need ideas for blank. Step two, stimulus. In the first spokes from the center, detail the stimulus to be explored. It can be stimulus from SparkDex or ideas sparked by the SparkDex. Step three, free associations. In the second and additional spokes out from the stimulus, list whatever comes to mind when you think of the stimulus. They can be perceptions, beliefs, good ideas, bad ideas, anything and everything that comes to mind. The process of free associations should take less than a minute. It should be instinctive and not overthought. The goal is to provide a number of leaping off points to work from so you don't become tunnel-brained and locked into a single dimension when you start creating ideas. When stimulus is multiplied in this manner, it takes on greater depth and character. It ignites many more sparks that can light new ideas. When working in a group, The multiplication of stimulus lets everyone participate in the creation of ideas. When we don't multiply stimulus as a conscious step, we end up creating far fewer ideas. Resist the temptation to leap directly from a piece of stimulus to an idea. The extra minute or so it takes to multiply stimulus is well spent. Step 4, create ideas. At the outside edges, list ideas. If they are particularly provocative ideas, good or bad, circle them so that you can find them again quickly. Now, by its nature, mind mapping is a very visual exercise. A description in an audiobook does not do it justice. I encourage you to learn more by viewing the images in the Driving Eureka book, or as with all techniques that we use, learn more about it from Tony Buzan's many books and web videos. Innovation is a journey. To become great at creating ideas, you need to see the process as a journey. If you believe that your first idea needs to be brilliant, you will never be a great innovator. The notion that you create great ideas by first creating lots of bad ones is a fundamental mindset that you must embrace, or you will get frustrated as an innovator. Perfect, no-risk, mega-disruptive ideas are never invented in one pass. All first ideas, no matter how great you feel they are, have flaws. All ideas go through plan-do-study-act cycles of learning, reinvention, reinvention, and reinvention to become awesome. The education pioneer Hamilton Holt said it well. Nothing worthwhile comes easily. Work, continuous work, and hard work is the only way to accomplish results that last. Ed Catmull, co-founder and president of Pixar, arguably the most successful animation studio of all time, had this to say about how bad ideas are the key to great ideas. Quote, "Early on, all of our movies suck. That's a blunt assessment, I know. But I make a point of repeating it often. And I choose that phrasing because saying it in a softer way fails to convey how bad the first versions of our films are." Everyone can create. The good news is that no matter how uncreative you might think you are, you can create meaningfully unique ideas if you leverage stimulus, diversity, and cycles of reinvention. 25 years ago, Ralston Purina hired my Eureka Ranch team to invent ideas for a new children's cereal. To gather stimulus, we invited two groups of students to invent ideas for us. Group 1 featured students who felt they were very creative. Group 2 featured students who felt they were not creative. Both groups participated in separate sessions. For the first 30 minutes, they were taught Osborne's two rules of brainstorming and how to leverage stimulus and diversity. The next 90 minutes were spent inventing ideas for a new cereal for children. Content analysis of the students' ideas revealed that the students who believed they were not creative created over 3 times more meaningfully unique ideas. We observed in this small base study that the first group of so-called creative students created ideas and then stopped, where the uncreative students started slowly, but having been taught a system for creating and given encouragement, they became even more creative. An amazing momentum developed. When the session came to an end, they didn't want to stop. We've experienced the same with adults. When you teach adults a system for discovering solutions to their problems and provide them encouragement, their natural creative spirit is activated. And when it's activated, they experience true joy in work. What did you learn? Now, the value of stimulus and diversity are obvious, but their application is not. The natural habit is to declare and defend ideas based on your opinions. Think. When in your life has a piece of stimulus, a learning, an observation, a fact, sparked a fresh solution to a problem you had? When in your life has diversity, say a conversation with others, sparked a fresh solution to a problem you had? In your personal life, what are examples of where you use stimulus and diversity to create fresh ideas and to solve problems? In your work life, Do you use stimulus and diversity, or do you resort to brain draining? What prevents you from using stimulus and diversity more? In the company you work for, or the school you learn or teach at, what prevents the use of stimulus mining and diversity to solve problems? And lastly, which of the six types of stimulus mining, wisdom, patent, market, insight, future, unrelated, do you use? And what stops you from using the others?